morning. Thank you, Allison. Just to give you a brief background on my experience, actually my experience is in health outcomes research and specifically in developing patient questionnaires that can be used in clinical trials to assess treatments from the patient perspective. And I do have a particular interest in pediatrics. And so this morning I'm going to be talking about parent decision making for immunizing children against seasonal influenza. And I just would like to take a moment to acknowledge my co-authors, Kelly Ryan, Dr. Stan Block, Dr. Matthew Hall, Victoria Divino, Dr. Matthew Roskulp, and Dr. Seth Toback. And this study was conducted with and on behalf of MedImmune. Seasonal influenza is a common childhood illness, and it's associated with substantial morbidity among children, including missed school days as well as missed work days for parents, and also resource use, so doctor visits, antibiotic use, and hospitalizations. And given this burden, the ACIP recommends vaccine for all children over the age of 6 months. Despite these recommendations, though, vaccination rates remain suboptimal. And as we know, parents are the primary decision makers for immunizing children against influenza. So the objectives of our study were to explore parent decision making regarding influenza vaccine, specifically for children aged 2 to 12 years. And what we wanted to do was identify the factors that influence decision making. So what are the reasons that parents choose to vaccinate, or drivers, and what are the reasons that parents choose not to vaccinate, or barriers? And we wanted to also try to quantify the importance of these factors. And then finally, we wanted to develop a conceptual model to illustrate the factors impacting decision making. We conducted a quantitative web survey for parents of children aged 2 to 12 years, and the survey was developed based on some preliminary qualitative research where we conducted focus groups with parents. Also, we talked to several pediatricians to get their input, and the survey was also informed by reviewing the literature. Parents were sampled from a standing survey panel between August and September of 2009. The panel was representative of the U.S. population and included 40,000 residents across the U.S. We attempted to stratify our sample by the parents' influenza vaccination rate. So within the panel data, we knew that some parents vaccinate themselves yearly, some sometimes, and some never. And so we were hoping to recruit equal numbers across those three groups. And then we also attempted to stratify by the age of child. So we wanted the sample to represent equal numbers of children aged 2 to 4 and 5 to 12. The survey included a section on experience and perceptions of influenza and influenza vaccine. We also included a section on the factors influencing decision making. So we had a predefined list of 19 drivers or reasons to vaccinate and 13 barriers or reasons not to vaccinate. And these were generated, again, based on the qualitative research and a review of literature. If a parent selected a driver or barrier, we asked them a follow-up question, which was to rate that driver or barrier in terms of its importance in their decision to vaccinate or not vaccinate, using a 5-point Likert scale from 1, a little important, to 5, extremely important. We also had a section where we listed various statements regarding beliefs and perceptions about flu and flu vaccine, and we asked parents to rate how much they are agreed or disagreed with those statements on a 5-point scale. This was an exploratory analysis, and we calculated frequency and mean, importance, and agreement ratings. We also examined differences across subgroups. So based on our preliminary qualitative research and talking to pediatricians and looking at the literature, we suspected that there would be differences in perceptions and beliefs, as well as drivers and barriers, based on parents' likelihood of vaccinating their child for flu. So we included an item within the survey to ask parents what their likelihood was of vaccinating their child next flu season. and they could respond high likely, highly likely, moderately likely, they would have a low likelihood, or that they would never under any circumstance vaccinate their child for flu. We also looked at differences across various sociodemographic variables. The sample included a total of 500 parents, and the demographics were fairly comparable to the U.S. general population. There were some differences, but we did examine the raw scores from our survey data against weighted scores that were developed to approximate responses from the U.S. general population. And when we compared the raw scores to the weighted scores, we found that the results were quite comparable, suggesting that our results are generalizable. And for the child sample, we had close to equal numbers of 2 to 4 year olds and 5 to 12 year olds represented, and close to equal numbers of males and females. 63% of the sample had received flu vaccine in the past. In terms of flu vaccination behavior, again, we attempted to stratify by the parents' past vaccination behavior for themselves, but we did end up with a slightly larger percentage of parents who indicated that they vaccinate themselves every year. And if you look at the flu vaccination behavior for children, it's quite comparable to that of the parents. In terms of likelihood of vaccinating the child the next flu season, 48% indicated they had a high likelihood of vaccinating their child next flu season, 21% medium likelihood, and 27% low likelihood. And then 18 parents in our sample actually indicated they would never under any circumstances vaccinate their child against flu, and these parents were excluded from our subgroup analysis. So here we present the top most frequently selected drivers for vaccinating their child against the flu. And so you can see here that there are three key drivers influencing parent decision making. And so these include to prevent my child from getting the seasonal flu, the doctor recommended it, and to reduce the symptoms of the flu if my child was to get it. And so in these cases, the vast majority of parents selected these as drivers. We also found that the mean importance ratings were quite high across all of the drivers. And so typically the importance ratings were over a 3 on the 5-point Likert scale of importance. And here are the top barriers that were selected, the most commonly selected barriers for the total sample. Here we had more variability. So there were no barriers that were selected by more than half of the sample. And the most common were that my child had a low chance of getting the seasonal flu, the seasonal flu vaccine can cause the flu, and the seasonal flu vaccine causes side effects like runny nose, nasal congestion, or sore arm. We also found that there was that the mean importance ratings were lower than those for the drivers. And I should note here that the highest importance rating, mean importance rating, was for the barrier that the seasonal flu vaccine contains thimerosal. So no other barrier had an importance rating over 4, and 4 represented very important. So we also wanted to compare drivers and barriers by likelihood, the parents' likelihood of vaccinating their child for flu for influenza next year. And so you can see here, these are the high the top drivers selected by the high likelihood group, and here's the medium likelihood group. And you can see that the top three are the same. The mean importance ratings are slightly lower for the medium likelihood group. One key finding here was that for the medium likelihood group, the fourth most commonly selected driver was related to convenience, whereas with the high likelihood group, it was related to the fact that it's routine. And here we have the top barriers by likelihood of vaccination. And so here we're comparing the medium likelihood group with the low likelihood group. And here there's more variability. And so for the low likelihood group, the top three barriers were that my child had a low chance of getting the seasonal flu vaccine can cause the flu, and the seasonal flu is not that serious. Here you can see that convenience, again, was an issue. So the second most commonly reported barrier was that getting the seasonal flu vaccine was not convenient. Also, with the low likelihood parents, there was an issue regarding whether or not the flu vaccine worked. So we also wanted to explore whether perceptions regarding severity of influenza varied across these likelihood groups. And we asked, one of the questions getting at severity was, what is the worst thing that could happen to your child if he or she gets the seasonal flu? And what we found was that those in the high likelihood group were much more likely to report that the worst thing that could happen was that their child could die. And then we also looked at perceptions of susceptibility to influenza based on likelihood of vaccination. And here again, we found that those in the high likelihood group were more likely to indicate that their child had a high chance of getting the flu next season, or definitely will get the flu next season if not vaccinated. Whereas here you can see that those in the low likelihood group were much more likely to report that their child had a very low or low chance of getting the flu next season. So the results did suggest that that there are these distinct groups by likelihood of vaccination. So for the high likelihood group, these parents had a greater perception of that the flu is a greater threat. They also believe in the efficacy and safety of the vaccine, and they were more likely to report the importance of a social contract or not wanting to spread the influenza to others. Those in the low likelihood group expressed the least concern regarding the threat of influenza, and they had the most concerns about safety and were most skeptical about the efficacy of the vaccine. They also were more likely to indicate that they believed in the benefits of natural immunity. Those in the medium likelihood group had mixed perceptions regarding efficacy and safety. They were probably more similar to those in the high likelihood group in that they generally believed that the vaccine is effective, but they had some reservations about the safety of the vaccine. Also, for the medium likelihood group, convenience was a key factor, and convenience really was not a major factor for the high and low likelihood groups. So based on our findings, we identified the health belief model as an optimal framework to illustrate parent decision making for influenza vaccine. And the health belief model is a very commonly used theoretical model to explain health prevention behavior. It's used as a framework for many studies exploring prevention and screening behavior, and has been used in vaccination studies. According to the health belief model, preventive health behavior is determined by four main constructs: the perceived seriousness of a disease, the perceived susceptibility of acquiring the disease, the perceived benefits of the behavior, and the perceived barriers or obstacles to adopting the behavior. So using the health belief model as a framework, we developed this conceptual model of parent decision making. And our survey results did support using the health belief model as a framework. So here, likelihood of immunizing children for influenza is related to the parents' perception of the threat of influenza. And this includes both their perceptions of the susceptibility to the flu and the perceptions about the severity of the flu. Also, likelihood is associated with parent perceptions or drivers leading to vaccination. And so here we've divided the drivers that were included in our survey into perceived benefits, such as flu prevention, and cues to action, which are people or events that would motivate someone to adopt a behavior. So for example, in our survey, we found that doctor recommendation was a key driver for decision making. And then these benefits are weighed against perceived barriers or obstacles to adopting the behavior. And so we did find that the fact that that some parents believe that influenza causes the flu to be a barrier. We also found in our survey that past experience was related to the likelihood of immunizing children for the flu. So those who had given their child the flu vaccine in the past were more likely to say that they would give their child flu vaccine in the future. And then we also found that there were some modifying factors that influenced perceptions of the threat of influenza. So for example, those with a higher education level were more likely to perceive a greater threat of influenza. So conclusions, parents who believe that their child is at high risk of influenza or believe it to be a severe disease have a higher likelihood of vaccinating their child against influenza. And we did find that parents could be categorized into these different likelihood groups, high, medium, and low, and that the relative importance of the drivers and barriers did vary according to across these three groups. Also, we found that there were three key drivers that were overwhelmingly selected by parents, and that barriers were more variable. And oftentimes, the primary barriers were related to a risk of adverse events and the perceived low risk of flu. And so we believe that healthcare providers should consider these barriers and drivers when addressing the low influenza vaccination rates for children. And it seems as though the medium likelihood parents pose the greatest opportunity to increase vaccination rates. So education efforts to increase the awareness of the safety and the efficacy of influenza vaccines would be beneficial, as would improving or providing opportunities that are convenient for parents in this group. And then among the low likelihood parents, this is a tougher a group to target, but education efforts to increase awareness of the severity of influenza, as well as the efficacy and safety of flu vaccine, may help improve vaccination rates. Thank you.